By then, the planet itself was coming up so fast that Han had no time to check the display to see the Falcon's new name. He rolled the upper hull toward the chase exits and began to flee toward the far side of the planet. When Han did check the tactical display, his heart fell. The chase exits were still hot on his tail and closing quick, but the Fast Death remained on station, hanging back with no apparent concern about keeping the Falcon in tractor beam range.
Blower.
He slammed a palm against the yoke.
I've got another one.
Another what?
Alana's voice was small and frightened. Han immediately regretted his outburst and explained in a gentler voice.
Another frigate, kiddo. That's why the Fast Death isn't following us.
Now is it time to ask Grandma about the backup plan?
Han had to bite back an irritated reply.
Not yet, sweetie. Grandpa just needs to raise the stakes, that's all.
Alana's eyes grew curious, but before she could ask Han to explain, a scratchy new voice came over the cockpit speaker.
You're not fooling anyone, Star Princess. We know who you are.
Han grimaced and glanced over at Alana.
You picked Star Princess?
You said to pick any name I wanted,
she reminded him.
And Star Princess is pretty.
I think it's a very wise choice, Mistress Alana. Statistical analysis shows that planetary patrols are 34% less likely to open fire on vessels with endearing names.
Alana shot Han a triumphant smile, but before she could gloat, the scratchy voice began to threaten them from the comm speaker again.
This is your last warning, Star Princess, or whatever you want to call yourself, Captain Solo.
R2-D2 gave a warning whistle, and the Falcon's lock alarm suddenly shrieked to life.
Heave to,
the voice ordered,
or that tub won't have a working circuit left.
The Savage? I don't think we have any choice, Captain Solo. If you don't do as he orders, R2 and I will be...
Not happening in this lifetime, 3PO.
Han glanced over at Alana.
Do you think you can still find Saba in the Force? Or should I have Will Yem?
I'm the co-pilot,
Alana informed him.
I can find her.
Then do it.
Han turned his attention back to the tactical display. The second frigate had shown up dead ahead, and the chase exes were driving them right toward it.
And tell Saba sooner is better.
Alana frowned.
I can't tell her anything, Grandpa. The Force isn't a comm link.
She closed her eyes and began to concentrate.
After living with Grandma so long, you really should know that by now.
Han smiled.
You'd think.
He activated his intercom microphone, then said,
Doherty, Zal, time to bluff. Bring up your guns and targeting computers.
Can we shoot?
Zal asked. Or maybe it was Doherty. Han couldn't tell.
No, you can't shoot. What are you, crazy? I've got Amelia on board.
So she gets to do all the shooting?
Doherty, or maybe it was Zal, asked.
Nobody gets to shoot,
Han retorted.
Well, except William, but not until I say so. And you can't hit anything, clear?
Of course I can hit something,
William rasped back.
I'm a Jedi.
A chorus of sissing broke over the intercom speaker. Before Han could snap at the barrel-bells to get serious, the voice of a very irritated task force commander came over the flight deck speaker.
Quick end command to the Star Princess, or whatever you're calling yourself at the moment. Have you lost your cripping mind, Solo?
Scowling at the foul language, Han looked over and motioned Alana to cover her ears.
This isn't funny anymore, Captain,
the commander continued.
My sensor officers tell me you're powering up your laser cannons, and we keep getting lock alarms. If I hear that your missile bays...
The commander's threat was drowned out by the startled cries of a dozen Chase X pilots, a mixture of cursing and status declarations.
Lock, lock! Someone's on my six!
What the blazes?
Cried a starfighter pilot.
We've got... Break, break, stealths!
In the instant of silence that followed, Han activated his intercom again.
When you're ready, William,
he said calmly.
And don't...
Hit anything. This one...
The Barabel's reassurance was cut off as the task force commander's furious voice came over the flight deck speakers again.
Captain Solo, please tell me that those Jedi stealth X's did not just target Bolt Squadron.
Han checked the tactical display and saw that the stealth X gambit had done its job. The Fast Death was finally moving off station, accelerating past the Farmcom wheel station to provide cover for its starfighter squadron. At last, the time had come to stop pushing. Han opened his own comm channel.
Stealth X's?
He looked over at Alana and winked. Then he signaled her to reach for Leia and the Force by pinching his eyes shut and miming the ignition of a lightsaber.
What stealth X's, Commander? The only starfighters around here are your...
The flight deck lock alarm suddenly began to wail again. Then the Falcon bucked sharply as a much weakened proton torpedo, the one Will Yem had just dumped out the aft loading bay, detonated a couple of kilometers off their stern. Holding the yoke with one hand and scratching his comm microphone with the other, Han immediately put the Falcon on a corkscrewing course for the quick end. Trailing out of the modified escape pod bay in the Falcon's aft, he knew would be long tails of flame and atmosphere. To sensors and naked eyes alike, the trail would look like the Falcon had suffered a catastrophic hull breach.
Solo!
The commander bellowed.
What the blazes just happened?
You tell me!
Han shot back. He opened the emergency channel, then continued.
One of your clowns just put a proton torpedo into our stern. This is the Millennium Falcon, declaring out-of-control emergency.
Declaring a false emergency was, of course, just the sort of thing no good spacecraft pilot ever did. At every rescue station on this side of the planet, crews would be scrambling and tractor ships cold-firing their ion engines. But as far as Han was concerned, getting Basil and the other Barvy Jedi Knights safely off Coruscant was an emergency, and Dalla had left them no other choice. Even so, the task force commander clearly remained suspicious, even as the Falcon continued to corkscrew toward him. The double-nosed needle of the quick-end sleek blue hull was already the size of a finger in the forward canopy, and still the vessel showed no sign of moving.